This is Leafs Breakfast.
It is indeed Leafs Breakfast here on First Up. I'm Aaron Korolnik. That's Carlo Koliakovo. We'll welcome in TSN hockey insider Darren Dreger in just a moment. Carlo, the Leafs play the Minnesota Wild in a matinee affair, 2 o'clock today, but it's pretty obvious that there will be some heavy hearts around the Toronto Maple Leafs organization today and around our city after the passing of Boris Salming yesterday at age 71. And we saw him at the Hall of Fame festivities. We saw him on that Friday night game, the game in which you were at. Some very emotional stuff, and clearly those emotions return today as we have heavy hearts as we look back on a remarkable life, a remarkable career of Boris Salming. Let's bring in TSN hockey insider Darren Dreger. Good morning, Dregs. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, guys.
Thank you for doing this. And we've been talking about Boris Salming, his legacy, the indelible mark he's made in our city for a lot of today's program. And I know you were down at the Hockey Hall of Fame ceremonies just a couple of weeks ago where Boria traveled in, was honestly so courageous just being there and all the emotions that came from that night. If you could just reflect upon that evening and what Boris Salming meant to you, we'd love to hear that.
Well, number one, he was just such an approachable man. Despite his greatness, he never, flaunted it, right? And it didn't matter what point of his career. We know that he took great pride in being one of the pioneers in driving European hockey into the National Hockey League. So there's that. But he had a cutting sense of humor as well. He always had a smile or even a smirk. Like, he was always wanting to poke somebody and have a little bit of fun in a good-natured way. So there was a gentleman side of Boris Salming that I think the fans of hockey can appreciate, but it's just too bad that, they didn't get to experience that firsthand. But I think they did a little bit, didn't they, on Friday, Saturday,
yeah,
at the Hall of Fame. Especially
for sure.
Friday, the Hall of Fame game on TSN. We're sitting on the set, not in the main bowl, but on the set at Scotiabank Arena. I can tell you personally, I was not prepared for how emotional that experience was. And seeing Boria, how emotional he was, Daryl Sittler, dear friend, longtime teammate, just weeping in the moment, along with Matt Sundin. And then to see how the greats of today, William Nylander of the Toronto Maple Leafs, fellow countrymen, embracing Boria on that lineup on the ice, and on it goes. But, as soon as I learned of his passing yesterday, you guys probably felt the same. It was almost relieving because we saw him Friday. We saw him Saturday in Toronto at the Hall of Fame. And then there was the 100th anniversary in Sweden that he attended where he was honored. And it was just more of the same. And that to me is the strength of Boris Salming. People talk about how fearless he was as a hockey player. The strength that he showed in this battle against ALS and the fact that he had it in him to come to Canada, to Toronto, to say farewell one more time. And then to do the same in his home country where he's beloved, iconic. I mean, that is a show of strength. And guys, if you don't mind, I reached out to a couple of people who knew Boria well, both as friends and as teammates and fierce competitors. And I started with the Flyers. Our colleague Dave Poulin, openly talked about how difficult he was to play against. Relentless. You couldn't forecheck. You couldn't corner him. And he died in front of anything in terms of shot blocking, right? And that would drive the forwards bonkers because, as Pooley said, we knew we couldn't get anything by him when he was on the ice. And here's a direct quote from Bob Clark, where he says, Salming brought the European style of toughness to the NHL. He had no fear. He wasn't a hitter, but he didn't fear getting hit. He used his stick to get even. He was a fearless, tough player. And then you fast forward a little bit, and I'll read one that I got from Mark Messier late last night. And he said, for me, he was the ultimate warrior. The courage he played with had to inspire his teammates. It certainly inspired me watching as a young player. He was a great player, obviously, but I will never forget how fearless he was, especially playing against those Flyers. It takes a lot of courage to say farewell the way he did by coming back to give everybody the chance to say goodbye. that's a real man. So there's a couple, and obviously Daryl Sutter weighed in, and so many of the Toronto Maple Leafs and Boris teammates and whatnot in the league, on and on and on it goes. And just to wrap up for me here, guys, as sad as it is, I flipped the switch pretty quick in reading some of the feedback that I was getting from some of these players, from that era. And it turned from me from sad to what Borey wanted to be. And that's a celebration of life, a life well lived. Short at 71, way, way, way too short. But he did so many important things, including raise, further awareness with Mark Curtin and Chris Poe and, all those Warriors men and women who are in the fight against ALS.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that, Dregs. It was touching. It hits hard, it's with the news like that, especially with, what we remember him for who he was and obviously what we saw him for who he was a couple weeks ago. Just not the same person, and you just hope that he rests in peace because that's what he deserves. Just moving on, we haven't got a chance to talk to you since the Maple Leafs decided to get active on the trade market. In doing so, they acquire Connor Timmins, but they lose Jordy Benn the next game for a couple weeks. One, what did you think about the trade? And two, do you think Jordy Benn's absence maybe sparks another move similar to what we saw with Timmins?
Well, I think it has to spark something. Dubas is I'm sure trying his best. No different than Pierre Dorion in Ottawa. Pretty much every general manager that sees his club underachieving, not that the Leafs are, but Toronto has had that need since prior to the start of the season. But I still think with long-term injury and some of the flexibility Toronto has, there may be bigger game hunting, if that makes sense, and that's not easy to do this early in the season. So if there's a lower-level opportunity that fits, similar to Connor Timmins, why not? I thought it was interesting. I mean, it's the Sioux Greyhound connection again. But I was just reading some of the reactions yesterday. I think it was Scott Wheeler from The Athletic who, did some digging at the OHL level and got some feedback from Kyle Raftus and others associated with the Sioux and their recollection of Connor Timmins. And he's a rock-solid defenseman. At that level, he was really, really good. And then Ray Ferraro on the Ray and Dregs podcast yesterday talked about how well Timmins played at the World Junior Championship. Now, he's had concussion problems, right? So he's had some injury issues that have stunted his development at the NHL level. But he's still a young player. So I just don't see the harm, and I see nothing but upside in acquiring Connor Timmins as long as he can stay healthy. And in Jordy Benn's case, man, talk about a tough dude, right? Yeah. So my understanding is that he strained an oblique. I don't know what is it? They've got some sort of market cornered on oblique strains with the Maple Leafs there. Yeah. But he suffered an oblique strain and potentially a broken toe in the same game. Wow. So, I mean, they didn't happen at the same time. So, he would have played through some stuff, before finally having to leave and come back and then leave again for the remainder of the game. So it's a shot to that blue line, no question about it. But, we saw how Toronto can play when their backs are against the wall against the New Jersey Devils, right, with a depleted blue line. And now that they've got some level of reinforcement, others given opportunity like Sandin and Lilligren, they've been challenged to do more. So this is just another test in adversity.
So that's John Tavares, who had the oblique during the preseason, TJ Brody, who's currently out with an oblique, and Jordy Benn. Man, the Leafs got a, I don't know, that is a very odd occurrence. Have you ever heard anything like that in your career, Carlo, where a couple, like three guys on the same team suffer the same kind of unique injury within a kind of somewhat of a short period of time?
Yeah, no, nothing like that, but clearly they got to stop with all the medicine ball throws.
No kidding.
Sort of...
It was groin injuries, like groin pulls and everything, especially in training camp when they shortened training camp. Because coaches, hey, you would remember this, Carlo, coaches felt like, okay, well, we got to do the same amount, but in a much shorter window of time. So we're just going to ride these guys right into the ice. And then what happened was, you know, you had groin pulls and strains and tears, and
it
became too much.
So it's funny you say that, because I remember when I was in Buffalo and they brought in a whole new, like, training team. Like, they call it the sports science team they brought in. And they thought it was a great idea that midway through the season to run a skate test after a practice one day. And lo and behold, four guys pulled their groins doing a skate test in the middle of a season. It's like, what are we doing here? What do you need a skate test for in the middle of the season? Like, let us play. Let us practice. And never done again. Skate test never done again after that.
Shocking.
Yeah, probably makes a lot of
sense. So whatever they're doing with the obliques in the Maple Leaf locker room probably is going to
stop it.
Yeah, probably going to stop now.
Yes, the medicine balls, I think those are the culprits.
Just to wrap up this thought, I've had more than a couple of general managers earlier in the season where it seemed like there was just a rash of injuries, right? And some of them related, like the oblique in Toronto, but unrelated. And I had at least three managers who started to wonder whether guys are training too hard. And I think historically we've heard that. I mean, Pat Quinn used to talk about that with Gary Roberts, right? Because Robs would come into whatever camp, and I mean, he'd be just so tight, like his muscle on top of muscle. And that's surfacing again. So it'll be interesting to see if there's any sort of...
I tell you what, where there's a bigger conversation around that, Dregs, and I've been hearing the same thing, is that the weightlifting training needs to change throughout the season and focusing more on, you know, what Tom Brady preaches, pliability, you know what I mean? Dynamic workouts to keep the groins and the hip flexors in the back sort of static instead of compressed, which is what the heavy weightlifting stuff does. So, yeah, there is a conversation for that for sure.
Darren, thank you so much for doing this. Have a great weekend. We'll chat with you on Monday.
All right, guys. You too. Thank you.
See you, pal.
That's TSN hockey insider Darren Dreger. If you missed any interviews here on First Up, we had Dregs on, Daniel Zakchevsky from Bar Down and from TSN Live from Qatar earlier this hour. You can find our podcast wherever podcasts are found. While you're there, subscribe, rate, and review. We should also congratulate our Chatwin. At J. Riley Chatwin on Instagram, you've won a $500 Golf Town gift card.
Bang!
That's good timing, because Golf Town's Black Friday event is on now in store and at golftown.com, and it is bigger and better than ever. And on until November 27th, that is Sunday. Visit golftown.com for more details and early Black Friday savings. We will go back to Qatar in about 18 minutes and talk to prominent Croatian soccer journalist Aleksandar Holiga. Very fascinated to know the perspective from Croatia with regards to Herdman's comments and the tabloid picture of John Herdman, which may or may not include James Duthie's naked body.
Is that his body?
I will ask. Maybe Aleksandar Holiga knows. Is that James Duthie's body? And again,
I mean,
you don't know what we're talking
could
about.
Be the size of his private part too.
Nice. Well done. Wow. You can hear I'm still sick. Eh? When I laugh, it's right there. That congestion remains,
you,
no
buddy.
Doubt. All right. So that was a very quality joke, though. Send that to Duthie. Make sure he hears that chirp. I don't think that's the case, though. My belief is... All right. I'm going to stop
He's
talking.
Too busy riding camels.
Our number... The camel feels it. Our number three of First Up, Aleksandar Holiga and the veterinarian, Frank Corrado, coming up here on First Up.